The Elder's Ordination, Part 2. Significant for the Elder, by Reverend Douglas Kuyper. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, Acts 20, verse 28. In our last article we began examining the matter of the ordination of elders into office. This refers, we saw, to the work of the Church by which she officially and authoritatively places a man into that church office for which he was chosen. We noted that, while both words ordination and installation refer to this activity of the Church, there is an important distinction between the two terms, especially regarding the office of minister. And we concluded by pointing out that the ordinations and installations should take place in a public ceremony. Now we ask, why? Why the need for ordination and installation? And why the need for such in a public ceremony? Generally, the answer is that in this way we follow biblical examples and principles. In the Old Testament, priests and kings were installed into office publicly, and Acts 6 verse 6 and 14 verse 23 indicate that the apostles, by public ceremonies, inducted men into the offices of deacon and elder. More specific reasons can be given from two viewpoints. First, from the viewpoint of the person being put into office, and then, second, from the viewpoint of the people of God whom the office bearer will serve. We proceed in this article to develop the first viewpoint regarding the significance of public installation for the elder. These reasons are gleaned from our form of ordination or installation of elders and deacons. From now on, by the word installation, I refer to both ordination and installation. One reason for a public ceremony of installation is that by it, the Church confirms that she has called this man to office. The Church had already called this man objectively, by voting from a nomination of men or by approving the consistory's appointment of a man to office. The confessing members of the Church express their desire that this man serve in office. He has been lawfully called of God's Church. By installing him into office, the Church confirms that it still is her desire that the man serve her in this way. By installing him at a public worship service, the Church as a whole confirms her desire publicly. Does the elder really doubt the Church's call so that he needs to be confirmed? Probably not, usually, but in exceptional cases, possibly. Think of an instance in which, after the election was held, some alleged that the man was not qualified to hold office. If the consistory properly investigated such allegations and found them not true, the installation of such a man is clearly a confirmation or of her call of him. Other times it becomes necessary to postpone installation for a time. The PRC have decided that, in case of difficulties in the congregation, the office bearers then serving shall continue to function until a man might begin to wonder, until their chosen successors can be installed. In such a case, a man might begin to wonder, especially if he does not understand what those difficulties are that postpone his installation, whether the Church still desires him to hold office. When finally the difficulties have been worked through and he is installed, his call is confirmed. Another reason for a public ceremony of ordination or installation is that it gives opportunity for elders publicly to voice their conviction that they are called to this office. The elder answers yes to the question in the form, whether you do not feel in your hearts that ye are lawfully called of God's Church and consequently of God himself, to these your respective offices? The call to which we refer now is the subjective call, the man's personal conviction that he is called to this work. The question put to the elder asks regarding what he feels in his heart. This conviction on the elder's part he did not express publicly when he was elected. The Church did not ask him to do so, and perhaps he was not ready to do so, having hoped that another would be elected at that meeting. But elected he was, and in the weeks between the congregational meeting and the installation he has had time to reflect on God's will, as made known by the vote of the Church. Now he must be able to say, I feel the conviction of the call, or to apply the verse quoted at the beginning of this article, I know that the Holy Spirit has made me an overseer over the Church of Christ. As an aside, the same is as true for ministers. Of course, a candidate desires a call to a congregation, but once in that congregation, when informed he is on a trio, A minister might very well prefer that another man get the call. But when he gets the call and considers it, he must then tell the congregation that called him one of two things, either, I feel in my heart that God has not called me, or, I feel in my heart that I am called of God himself. Why should the elder state his conviction of being called? Knowing that he is called, he realizes that he must do his work faithfully. So another reason for a public ordination ceremony is that the elder-elect publicly express his vow to be faithful and diligent in his work. The elder expresses this resolve also by an affirmative answer to a question that the form requires be asked of him. First question regards his conviction of his being called. The second regards his confession that the Scriptures are the only Word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and his rejection of all doctrines repugnant thereto. And the third reads in part, whether ye promise agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully, according to your ability, to discharge your respective offices. Having made this resolve, the elder is ready to take up his labors and officially begins to serve his term. This resolve, I said a few paragraphs earlier, is expressed in the form of a vow, a promise to God. The elder does not make this promise to the church, but to God. Yet he makes this vow publicly because the church is a representative of God, and because the church will benefit from his faithful labors. A fourth reason why a public ceremony of installation is appropriate is that by this the elder receives the assurance that God will equip him for his work. His work is weighty and daunting, and when understood as the work of Christ in his church, it is all the more weighty. What the inspired apostle said regarding his work applies as much to the work of the elder, who is sufficient for these things. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16, rephrased, what mere mortal, sinful man is equal to this task, and is enough for it? None. But during the installation ceremony, the elder is assured that whom God calls, he equips. This assurance comes first from the fact that the church, as God's representative, puts the man into office. The man is assured that he, as a member of the church and laboring for the good of God's kingdom, will receive sufficient grace. And second, the minister says, as a representative of Christ, the Almighty God and Father replenish you all with his grace, that ye may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective offices. Amen. A prayer this is not, nor is it a hopeful wish on the part of the minister or church. Rather, it functions like the salutation and benediction that the minister pronounces on the church at the beginning and end of the worship services. Christ, through the minister, is telling his elders, elect, redeemed, sanctified elders, that the grace of God will empower them and be sufficient. Finally, at the installation ceremony, the church prays for the elder. Our form includes a prayer that the church, led by the minister, brings to God's throne of grace. As with all the prayers in our liturgical forms, it is a beautiful prayer. It brings to God, through Christ, the fundamental needs of the office bearers and congregation. It aims at the magnifying of God's name and the enlarging of the kingdom of Christ through the work of the elders and deacons. While the prayer is found in the form is prayed usually not more than once a year in any congregation, the substance of the prayer is repeated week after week in the congregational prayer and is echoed in the prayers of believers throughout the week, at the dinner table, in their private devotions, in their Bible studies, and at other occasions. The elder knows not only that the church prayed for him, but that the church is praying for him. All that I have said is in substance the answer of Vendelin and Munsma in explaining Article 22 of the Church Order to the question, why then does the Church Order provide for proper installation? They write, so that the appointees may publicly accept their appointment to office and publicly assume their responsibilities, openly promising before God and His Church loyalty and devotion, and openly testify that they accept the appointment as coming from God Himself. Also, in order that the congregation may receive its new office bearers, in the right attitude of heart and mind. Furthermore, in order that the congregation may appropriately implore God's blessing upon the newly elected office bearers. That the congregation may receive its new office bearers in the right attitude. We have focused in this article on the benefit of a public installation for the elder. We must yet speak to the significance for the congregation.